thankful to be here. I'm so thankful to be here, and even when we're working outside and making the carpet, just like Bill said, God can feel the spirit here. I can feel the spirit here, and I'm so grateful.
You know, to have you all of that, you know, I've been to churches before where, you know, I've left feeling no more than what I felt when I came in. There's no movement. Lord, this place, this church, every time I come here, I feel something. And I know what it is. And I thank Sean for what he does. He brings us closer.
Thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods.
Exalt thee. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as my friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Yes, I will sing of the goodness of God.
I love your voice. You have led me through the fire in darkest night. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire and darkest night. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Yes, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Father, we thank you so much for your Spirit. We thank you for the manifestation of your Spirit and for your touch. We thank you for your presence, Lord. We do exalt you and we lift you up. We glorify your name. And Lord, we pray now that you would touch these lips of clay, that they would bring forth your word and the manifestation of your Spirit and your power, that we would not preach with enticing words of men, but under the unction and the function and the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. When God created the heaven and the earth was completely formless and empty, with nothing but darkness draped over the deep. God's Spirit hovered over the face of the waters, and then God announced, "Let there be light," and light burst forth. And God saw the light as pleasing and beautiful, and he used the light to dispel the darkness. When God began the creation of heaven and earth, the earth was formless and void and empty, and there was nothing but darkness. However, that did not stop God from creating. It may be dark and gloom and doom in your life right now, but do not let that discourage you. God's got you in the palm of his hand, and the darkness cannot stop the creative power of God. It doesn't matter how dark it is. It doesn't matter how bleak it is out there. God can and still will move in your life. God will create something new for you. He said in Jeremiah 33 and 3, ask me, and I will tell you remarkable secrets you do not know about things to come. Ask him. He has great plans for you and the power to make them a reality. Now, I hope you stay with me because I've really got about 17 pages of groundwork and then a couple of pages of sermon. God Almighty, God All-Powerful. When you look at Genesis 1 and you begin to look at those words and you begin examining them, the Hebrew word there is Elohim, and it is the commonly used Hebrew term for God. It stresses his sovereignty and power and could be translated mighty God. Elohim is the plural of Eloah and occurs nearly 2,600 times in the Bible. It is derived from the word Ahalah, which means to worship or to adore, and presents God as the one worthy of worship and adoration. The first few verses of the Bible, we could even narrow that down to the very first verse in the Bible, speaks and shouts out, God is all powerful. We don't have to have science and textbooks that have to try and examine everything to wonder how this earth got here. The Bible tells us, God spoke it, it happened, it was so, it was done. Amen. Whatever you have need of, ask him. He has the power to save and to create something new for you. Now, there's a joke that talks about the creative power of God, because you see, when we start talking about creation, God is the only one that can create.
Amen.
God creates things out of nothing. God will take nothing and make everything. God speaks and it happens. As you read those first few verses of in Genesis, it says, God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, let us make man in our image, and here we are. God said, and it was so. And so there was an old joke that talks about man's stupidity and arrogance, that talks about how that one day a group of scientists gets together, and they decided that humanity had come a long way. And they no longer needed God. So they picked one scientist to go and tell God that they were done with him. The scientist walked up to God and said, God, we've decided that we no longer need you. We're to the point where we can clone people, manipulate atoms, build molecules, fly through space, and do many other miraculous things. So why don't you go away and mind your own business from now on? God listened patiently. He listened kindly. He said, after the scientist was done talking, God said, very well, how about this? Before I go, let's say we have a human-making contest. To which the scientist replied, okay, we can handle that. But God said, we're going to do this just like I did in the old days with Adam. The scientist nodded and said, sure, no problem. And so he bends down and picks up a handful of dirt, and God says, go get your own dirt. When the Bible says that God made the stars along with the sun and the moon, it is talking about his immense power. And that simple little statement, almost like an addendum at the end of that verse, it says that he made the sun, the moon, and the stars, and then it says he made the stars also. And we're going to talk about those stars in just a minute, because it's almost like it's just an addendum just thrown in there. And we'll talk about those. As you learned in school, or were supposed to learn in school, light travels at 186,000 miles per second. That's almost 6 trillion miles a year. It's actually 5,800,000+. So we're going to round it up to 6 trillion for ease of mathematics. So let's consider a beam of light that's moving at 186,000 miles per second. When your alarm clock went off this morning to come to church, you were so excited, but yet you only hit the snooze button one time. In those 9 minutes of that snooze button, that little beam of light that was created at this, that time went passing the earth and was headed out toward the edge of the solar system. Now let's look ahead at the end of the week. As you leave work on Friday afternoon, that little beam of light will be leaving our solar system, and now you don't have to think about that little light again for another 4 years. And after all this waiting, our beam of light has only reached the nearest star to our sun, Alpha Centauri. Go 7 years, and our little light beam has only 20 stars behind it, and our sun appears as a rather bland, yellowish star disappearing into galactic darkness. Imagine this little beam of light has been headed for the center of our Milky Way galaxy. It has to travel 32,000 years before it will reach the center of our galaxy, and that's at 6 trillion miles a year. But wait, it still has another 50,000 years to get to the other side of the Milky Way. That's just the one galaxy that we live in. And when it does, it will leave behind about 100 billion stars. Now remember that the Milky Way galaxy is only an average-sized galaxy. According to space.com, there are between 100 billion and 200 billion galaxies in the known universe. Now, if our little light beam travels a couple more millions of years, it will encounter really open space. Our little friend will now travel another 20 billion years before it reaches the edge of the known universe that we know about after over 20 billion years of travel with about 50 billion galaxies behind it and with about 100 billion stars in those 50 billion galaxies. Now look, is your mind blown yet? I'm sure some of you have been doing the math. Psalms 8:3 says, "When I look at the night sky and see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you set in place." Our little light beam has only seen the work of God's fingers. Or as Job puts it, "These are just the beginning of all that he does, merely a whisper of his power. Who then can comprehend the thunder of his power?" Now, if that's only the work of his fingers, what can his arm do? I'm so glad you asked, because I have a scripture. Listen, the Lord's arm is not too weak to save you, nor is his ear too deaf to hear your call. I gave you all of those mind-boggling and staggering numbers to say how big this stuff is, but yet God still cares enough about you that he knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what you are going through. And his arm is not too weak to save you. And his ear is not deaf. He can hear he can hear your thought. That's how big our God is. The universe was created by God, more powerful, more complex, and more intelligent than we could ever imagine. God made this earth and everything in it in 6 days. There was darkness over the surface of the deep that covered the earth. The Spirit of God was hovering there. And our God's Spirit, when it says that he hovered, it means to gently vibrate. The Syriac similar word can mean to incubate, to breed, brood. The Hebrew word rakaf means to flutter, to gently move, to hover over with gentle wavering. Or to be relaxed, grow soft, and describes the utmost care and affection of a mother eagle caring for her young. And as I was going over that again this morning, I had this thought that the darkness did not bother the Holy Spirit. He was still there, hovering in a gentle, relaxed way. The darkness did not get the Holy Spirit worked up into a big dither. He was there simply waiting on the voice. Waiting as he hovered there. Waiting for God to say, "Let there be." And once he began to speak, the Spirit said, "That's what I've been waiting on." And he began to move, and there was light. The word is also used for a bridegroom hovering over his bride. The same Holy Spirit overshadowed a virgin by the name of Mary to bring the perfect man into the world. God's Spirit danced over the waters on creation's first morning. The Holy Spirit was there, moving and hovering. God began speaking, and all of this creation begins to happen. And on this very first day, God says, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God separated the light from the darkness. So on day one, he created the material out of which the final shape of the heavens and the earth would be made. And he created light. Now, man has a theory called evolution. It is, and they say in their theory, I'm trying to be nice and not say stupidity, but there I said it. The world's theory of evolution says that the creative processes haven't been stopped, that man evolved from monkeys, and that they believe that the man and the world are getting better. But the second law of thermodynamics is supported by the first chapter of Genesis, which states that every system left to its own devices tends to move from order to disorder or decay. Energy is changing through decay. Things are running down, rusting, and falling apart. And that all is a result of Adam's sin. The law of second law of thermodynamics is right. Every system left to its own decays and degrades. And man's system is trying to kick God out, and so therefore it is decaying and degrading and falling apart. Things don't run smooth without any oil. And the oil is the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, things do not function. They fall apart. You have heat and friction and disorder, and nothing runs, and finally it all seizes up, and there is nothing. And that's where we are headed. The heavens contain the embedded codes of God's glory, are full of the symbolic signs that testify to his greatness and wisdom. They're like huge billboards and advertisements in the sky telling people how good and how great our Creator is. But even though this world is getting worse, and the heavens are there, even though it may seem like dark and gloom and doom, the heavens are still there, and they still declare the greatness of God. And they remind us that God said, "Let great lights appear in the sky to separate the day from the night. Let them mark off the seasons, days, and years. Let these lights in the sky shine down on the earth." And that is what happened. God made two great lights, the sun and the moon, the larger one to govern the day and the smaller one to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set these lights in the sky to light the earth, to govern the day and night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. Now, if you've been paying attention, you've noticed something here. Day one, God created the light. God did not create the sun, moon, and stars until day four. You know what that tells me? What it tells us. The sun doesn't create light. The moon doesn't create light. The stars don't create light. God created light, and then he just made these luminous bodies to reflect that light. Oh, we're going somewhere, folks. I'm trying to get there, and I may just skip a bunch of stuff and get there. God, and I had this in bold print here. The sun, moon, and stars are not the creators of light. God is the creator of light. He happens to use them as radiating bearers of light that was already there before them and without them. Are you with me? Some of you, I think, are starting to smell what I'm cooking. So God took the light he had already created, attached it to these luminaries he made on day four. And then he said that these light bearers, these luminous bodies, the moon and stars and things, they have three distinct functions here. The number one function says to separate the day from the night. Next slide, John. I know I'm way ahead of you. Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. And each of these three functions is introduced by this phrase, let there be, or let them. And the first function was to separate day from night. So we can say that if you're taking notes, that the first function of these light bodies was to separate. And that's going to be important here, these three functions. God created these bearers of light, gave them the task of separation. And then, secondly, these light bearers were to dominate. In the text, in verse 14, it says, God said that there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. These light bearers determine the seasons. They dominate. And so stay with me here. I promise you we're going somewhere. I want to bring this third one up real quick. The luminous bodies were created first to separate, second to dominate, and thirdly to illuminate. Genesis 1:15. Let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, and it was so. So you're with me right now. God created light on day one. He created the sun, moon, and stars on day four. He said that these luminous bodies were to reflect the light that was already there and that was created before them. He says they are to separate, to dominate, to determine, to illuminate. Now let's go to verse 16. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. God made these lights. And here, as we begin to see this, he made them to be rulers. And so we're starting to see here the royal aspect of God and the kingly aspect. And this scene sets the scene for God setting up his kingly rule over creation. He's allocating his power to the light rulers in the heavens. And if we jump forward to the sixth day, we see that mankind was made in God's image and it's allocated to the earth. And God says, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. By the end of the 6 days of creation, the world has light rulers and earthly rulers. And I began thinking about this and how that Moses was leading out, was at Pharaoh, and he was going to try to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, and God is sending the plagues upon Pharaoh. And if you know the story, you know that there was 10 plagues, and the very 10th plague was the death of the firstborn, and then that's when Pharaoh finally said, let them go. But before it was over, before the finale, do you know what plague 9 was? Darkness. Things got dark right before the finale. Some of you are getting it. Things may be getting dark around us, but it's because it's right before the finale. But even though it was dark around them, during all that time, the people could not see each other. No one moved. But there was light, as usual, where the people of Israel lived. It may have been dark around them, but praise God, they still had light. As long as you are walking with Him, the darkness doesn't stop His creative power to make light where you are. Let me rephrase that. Light where He is, and you want to be where He is because it's still light. Now then, we've got all of this, and Jesus talking to the crowds of people around Him, come to this earth and takes on flesh and becomes a man and walks around with them, and He begins talking to them, and look at what He told them. I am the light of the world. If you follow Me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. You want life and you want to have it more abundantly. You want to walk in light instead of darkness. Walk with Jesus. You know, the King of Glory, the light of the world, says, I hold you by your right hand. I, the Lord your God, and I say to you, don't be afraid. I am here to help you. We don't have to worry about the darkness. We don't have to worry about those things that's happening around us because God has already said He is the light of the world and He is here to help us. And we think that we may be dark all around us and we may not even be able to see the sun. But that doesn't matter because we've already learned that the sun doesn't create the light anyway. In the fact, when this world is all over, look at what Revelation says. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. Okay, now we're getting close to where I want to be. Until we get to this day, until we get to the finale when we are in heaven, and we sang about it this morning, until we get to home, we have been given a charge. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. The greater light was to rule the day. That was none other than Jesus Himself. The lesser light was to rule the night. That lesser light, that moon and the stars, are there to reflect the light of the greater light. When we decide to follow Christ, we become children of the light. As Paul told the church at Thessalonica, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Scripture often uses stars as a picture of believers or ministers who shine with supernatural light. Daniel 12:3, those who are wise will shine as bright as the sky, and those who lead many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever. 1 Corinthians 15:40-41, these are also the bodies in the heavens and bodies on the earth. The glory of the heavenly bodies is different from the glory of the earthly bodies. The sun has one kind of glory, while the moon and the stars each have another kind, and even the stars differ from each other in their glory. Philippians 2:15, so that no one can criticize you, live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. And here's where I wanted to get to. This is what I wanted you to see. The book of Genesis says that there were two lights. One rules the day, and the other rules the night. Matthew 5:14-15 says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Jesus is the light source. The church is the light that shines into darkness. We are the lesser light. We reflect the light of the source. You know, if we would pull all of the shades down and put aluminum foil over the windows and turn out all the lights, you wouldn't be able to see me. But if I were to take the spotlight that we have up in the attic and shine it down here, I could illustrate to you that even though I am not a light, I can reflect light in such a way that it looks like a light. No, I'm not the source, but I am able to reflect that light. If anything gets between me and that light source, then I no longer reflect that light and you can no longer see me. That was deep right there. Nothing in this dark world can get between us and the light source if we are to be the light. Amen. Chris August put out a song several years ago. And it has a light in it that says, I'm giving my life to the only one who makes the moon reflect the sun. God is everything. We want to reflect the light of the sun. We run around saying, I can't do this and I can't do that. And we're right, we can't. But that isn't supposed to stop us from stepping out in faith and working for the Master. We know we're not the source, He is. So then why do we say we can't do things? Because it's not us doing them anyway, it's Him. When we say we can't do it, we are saying God's not able to do that through me. Because God is the one that does it anyway. He is the source. We've just got to be the vessel through which He can flow and move. So why not step out and do ministry that He has called us to do? Reflect the light of Jesus Christ to a lost and sinful world. The King of Glory, the light of the world, holds your hand and says, I hold you by your right hand. I, the Lord your God, and I say to you, don't be afraid. I am here to help you. The world may look dark all around us, but we are to let our light shine. Go forward, John. Again, and one more time. Listen to the tombstones. We're in a dark world. People are hurting, dying, and I got this from a movie that we watched the other day. And it was about some kids who ended up coming to a gentleman's house. And he was an older gentleman. And the gentleman began talking to them about Bible study and things. And he took them one time to a graveyard. And he starts out saying, this is a good place to come while you're still alive. And he had those three young boys go up to the tombstones. And he says, listen, put your ear on there and listen. We don't hear anything. Oh, get closer, get closer. We still don't hear anything. He says, listen to the tombstones. We don't hear anything. Then he begins to say, why did you not tell me about Jesus? Why did you let me come to this horrible, awful place? Listen to the tombstones. We are to be the lesser light ruling the night. And as the lesser light, we have been assigned to work the night shift. The light had three functions: to separate My Bible reading plan this week brought up Numbers 3. And it brings out the Numbers 3, 1, and it starts talking about the priest. And it mentions Nadab and Abihu and how that they offered strange fire to the Lord. The Lord killed them on the spot. That strange fire symbolized, and it makes us remember how important it is to regard the holiness of the sanctuary of God. You know, we talked last week about holiness and that we were created to bring Him glory and honor in everything that we do. And we've got to guard ourselves that we remain holy. And I was thinking about that strange fire and how that I knew that this was the month where we have five Sundays that we're going to be having communion today. And I remember and how that the Bible tells us that when we take communion, we must do so with great care, lest we partake unworthily. And the scripture even says, for this reason many sleep, in other words, many have died and are sick among you because they have not taken the Lord's communion worthily. We, the lesser light, are to rule the night. And the first thing that we must do is separate. That is the definition of sanctification and holiness, taken out and set apart. We are to separate ourselves from this world. And once we begin to do that, then we can do our second function, which is to dominate. That doesn't mean lord over. It means that we are to be in control, work, allowing God to work through us. And then we can illuminate. We're to be lights reflecting His glory, His honor. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. The whole point of me being up here is not for you to go on the way out saying, oh, what a good sermon that was. The point was, didn't we see God in that? Isn't He to be glorified in that? Glorify your Father. When Elijah prayed the fire down from heaven and prayed and the fire fell and consumed the sacrifice and the altar and the 12 barrels of water, the people left there saying, the Lord, He is God. They didn't leave there saying, boy, look at Elijah and how powerful he is. He even prayed the fire down from heaven. They said, the Lord, He is God. So our purpose this morning is not that men would see and women would see us, but it's that they would see Him. In fact, in the words of Andrew when we first came down here, he said, Dad, you know when people leave and they tell you that was a really good sermon? He said, Dad, they really don't mean it. They just feel like they have to say that. So when people are telling you how good that you are, they may not really mean it. But there's a point to my statement here. But if they leave and they tell you how good He is, they mean that because something has touched them in here. We're working the night shift. Have you ever been in a place where there's no light whatsoever? Been in a cave or a room without windows and they turn out the lights? It's so black you can't see your hand 2 inches in front of your face. There's simply no light. Before long, the darkness presses in upon you like a heavy burden, surrounding you, closing in upon you. And it's almost claustrophobic. It's a great relief when they actually turn the lights back on. But at the moment the lights are turned back on, the darkness flees, and you begin to feel more at ease. The prophet Isaiah speaks to us about light and darkness. Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed, as when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali. And afterward, more heavily oppressed here, her by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, in Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of the harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden, the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. Isaiah is talking about us living in darkness of this sinful world. But in his words, we have the words of God to give us encouragement. As we live and work in this dark, sinful world, we are not to be overwhelmed. We are to dominate, to separate, to illuminate, to work the night shift, reflecting the light of his glory, that all might come to him. God sends his light into the world, and that light shines out of the darkness. It's a light that shines for everybody to see. Could have the musicians come. Have you ever stopped to think? And I was thinking about this after last week's sermon. Have you ever stopped to think about work, and maybe that's why you're working beside that person you can't stand? Maybe, you know, the one I'm talking about, the one that cusses so much it just sets you on nerve, your nerves on edge. You know that neighbor that doesn't care, that lets their dog go over to your yard and do its business? Have you ever stopped to think that maybe you're still there, or your neighbor, God hasn't moved that neighbor, because instead of looking at it as work and as your job, that's your mission field? Maybe God hasn't moved that neighbor yet because you're supposed to tell them about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do everything for his glory. Let him touch you. Let him work through you. Let him minister through you. Stop looking at these things that we do in life as everyday struggles and trials, and look at it as your mission field, as your assignment, that you would let your light shine in the darkness. The world is dark, but it's time that we let our light shine. Would you stand? If there's one here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you that opportunity now. I want to give you an opportunity to come and say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come and live in my life. Make me into what you want me to be, Lord. If that's you, would you come? And then I also want to give you an opportunity. As we said, we're going to have communion. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge others, we should not be judged. So I want to give you an opportunity this morning, before we take communion, to come and make sure everything's right between you and the Lord so that you do not take unworthily. If you're not a Christian, I want to give you the opportunity to come and say, Lord, forgive me. If you are a Christian and you've been struggling, and I want to give you the opportunity to say, Lord, here I am. I give it all to you. I'm turning everything over to you this morning. Help me to be a witness and a light. And maybe everything's going okay and you just haven't been working the night shift like you're supposed to. And you've not been allowing the Lord to be a light to this dark world. You want to come and say, Lord, forgive me and help me to be a better light. Whatever the case may be this morning, as many as that would, please come and spend a moment in prayer before we take communion. If you need special prayer, let me know and I'll be glad to pray for you. But as many as that would you come, please, for just a few minutes as they begin to sing.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live. There is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to the
like you. There is none beside.
your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. I will build my life upon
Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said, I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Dan, would you say the blessing on the bread?
Lord Jesus, we just thank you for your body which was broken for us. We thank you for the stripes you took on your back, for the nails hands and your feet, for the spear that pierced your side. Lord God, we just want to honor you today, and we just want to thank you for your sacrifice, and we want to honor you with all of our life. Lord God, you gave your life for us. We want to give our lives for you.
Take the bread. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament, my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Jeff, would you say the blessing on the cup for us?
Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for the price you paid for us, our sacrifice. None of us deserve what you've done for us, but yet you love us unconditionally. You allowed your son to die on that cross, to conquer death and rise. And through his blood, our sins are forgiven. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you for this cup of blessing. Amen.
Man, would you take the cup? As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. We do thank the Lord this morning. Amen. Amen. Do that song. Chorus one time as a dismissal. And I know that Ann Orga is going to come up for those that's going to be working Saturday. So, Yeah. Dad, can you go down and get Ann Orga? Yeah. Orga. So we'll say a word of dismissal, and then those that can go, are free to go, but as many as that would, it's going to work Saturday, please stick for that. So, Father, we thank you so much for what you've done here this morning. We thank you for your word and for your spirit and for your touch. Well, Lord, we ask that you would go with us this week. We ask that you would help us to be the lights that would reflect your glory and your honor. That, Father God, that you would move through us and that you would be able to touch a lost and dark world through us. That we would make ourselves available unto you. In Jesus' name, amen.